Again, I'd like to welcome everyone out this morning. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker this morning. It's my father-in-law, Doug Ferrier. Took the opportunity since he was traveling through to impose upon him, and he was willing to be used by God this morning. And I ask that you would give him your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother Doug Ferrier.
Thank you, Bob. Well, I've always got thoughts in my mind, you know, and sometimes they come out and maybe not the right way you'd like them to, but I always try. I do construction work up in Bemidji, Minnesota. I'm a building contractor. We build a lot of things up there. And it was a big rush yesterday, and I've traveled before, and it's always you rush, trying to get things done before you leave. And you get to a certain point, and you just have to give up. I can't do any more. At 9 o'clock yesterday morning, I said, I can't do any more. I got to get ready to go. Whatever happens while I'm gone, because I've got employees and I'm trying to get stuff ready for them to work on while I'm gone. And last year, when I was out here at this time, it didn't go so good while I was gone. You know, while the cat's away, the mice will play, they say. And so I had come back to a little bit of difficult problems, but I was ready to deal with them. People come to me and say, can you build this? What should I say? Positive. My grandkids watch this show, a cartoon, Bob the Builder. I don't know, you've probably seen it. They say, can we do it? And what do they say? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. I have to tell the people don't like it when they say, can you build me something? You say, well, I don't know. It's kind of a challenge, but I'll try. I say, yes, we can build it. They're encouraged that we can build it. Being positive is the best thing that you can have in your life. Being positive. They did a study. People that was more positive lived longer than if the ones that were more negative. Well, I try to get that into my employees. Bob probably knows what it's like dealing with fellow workers trying to get them to do something. Sometimes it's difficult, isn't it, Bob? There's people out there that just will not do what you ask them. Everything you say is, well, I don't want to do that. Why do you want me to do that? They just do not want to do it. The Lord has the same problem with us. How many times through the scriptures has he asked people to do something, and they complained. They complained. There's been examples where the Lord says, I will clear the path in front of you. There's not going to be nothing in front of you that you're going to stumble on. I'm going to protect your back. There's nobody going to sneak up on you behind to harm you. I want you to do this. Will you do it? What would hold you back from having a guaranteed promise like that? If God wanted you to do something, and he says, I'm going to take care of all of the details. You don't have to worry about a thing. You just have to do the job that I want you to do. He believes in you to do that. What would hold you back? Well, we have excuses all the time. Has anybody ever come up with the excuse why they couldn't do something? Your neighbor asked you to do something. Well, can't do that. I'm busy. A friend asked you to do something. Well, I can't do that. I'm busy. Have you ever had that in your life? Yeah. We have excuses all the time. We can make them up out of just in a moment's notice. Why we get comfortable in our lives. We get a routine. I get up at 4:30 every morning. My alarm gets off 4:30 every morning. I make coffee, make my breakfast, make my lunch, do some phone calls. That's my routine. I don't like change. Nobody here likes any change in their routine. We get stuck in this rut of things. But we have to be positive in our lives. The Lord might want us to change something. He might have a different direction for us. How many times have you thought that, well, I think I know what God wants me to do. And has He changed your mind for you? Yeah, we think we know sometimes what He wants for us. But that's what someone told me. He says, well, if you want to have a surprise, tell God your plans for your life. He'll tell you what His plans are for you. You might have to change. But we have all kinds of labor. God wants us to do these labors in our life. Who here can recite the verse on the Zion's Advocate that's right on the top of it? Right below the Zion's Advocate. Bob worked on the Zion's Advocate. What's up there, Bob? It's been on there ever since I've been getting the Zion's Advocate. We should know it by heart.
Yes, it is. It's there.
Anybody? Anybody want to go find one? It says, blessed are they that shall labor for Zion in those days. Labor for Zion in those days. What is our labor that we have to do? It's on there. The Lord said we would be blessed if we work for this labor of Zion in the last days. Well, I have some things I'd like to talk about. It's about Nephi and his family. To go over a few things about that. You know, the journey that they had from Jerusalem, God wanted them to leave. They had a routine. They kind of, their world went upside down. Would you go with me today into the wilderness if God asked us to? They wandered for 8 years. Where is it on this U.S. that we can wander for 8 years and not see another person? Is there any place like that? I don't think so. 8 years, I think you might run into somebody else. Unless you got stranded up in Alaska or somewhere, but it'd be quite a change to take off and leave everything. What would you take with you? What would you take with you? You're going on Lehi's dream that God told him to leave Jerusalem. They believed him and they left. They left. They had a lot of struggle and trials. A lot of people wanted to give up and go back. But where was back? They was, I don't know if they could find their way back. 8 years of traveling. We go camping and we think that's kind of fun for the weekend, and we try to rough it and cook outside and all these things. But we take all these things with us. We can go to a store if we want to, if we run out of something. These, they didn't have a store to go to. Whatever they had along the way, whatever they could find to eat, that's what they had. There's no McDonald's you can go to or no fast food. But they made this travel. Was anybody complaining on the trip? Yeah, quite a few. Laman and Lemuel was the instigators of that. They were complaining all the time. After seeing an angel, would you complain? Would you say, well, I don't believe God's out there. We've seen that angel, but that's something different. They had seen all that, but their hearts were so hardened that they weren't willing to obey. Weren't willing. When you have employees, I don't know quite how the Lord feels with us. His mercy extends way beyond where mine goes. I get a little frustrated sometimes, and can't you just do what I ask you? I think in my heart to my employees, can't you just do what I ask you with a willing heart? That's what the Lord wants us to do. A willing heart. If He asks you to do something, yes, I can do that. He gave us promises that He would help us and guide us. You don't get a guarantee like that in the world anywhere. We buy things in the store and everybody's looking for this great guarantee that you get. Well, if this piece, this thing breaks, I'm going to go back to the store and demand my money back. Because they've wronged me and I've got this great guarantee. Well, that only lasts so long. That only lasts so long. But the Lord's guarantee that He gives to us, that's just like solid as a rock. He promised He would help us. He promised that He would guide us and lead us. If we'd only have faith in Him. If we'd only have faith in Him. So they were out 8 years, it says. I have a hard time. I believe this, but it's just, to me, I look back and I think, what all did I do in 8 years? Can I remember all the things that I did in the last 8 years? To not have any of these conveniences we have it so easy today compared to this trip that they took. We have it so easy. We would want to get in our car and we'd want to drive this trip. They walked it. They carried things. It was quite a struggle. Quite a struggle. And Nephi, he had to deal with all of these struggles that his brothers were coming up with, and they had seen all these amazing things, and they were so negative in this trip. So they got to the seashore. And to me, it seemed like they should have made it there quicker than 8 years from Jerusalem to the seashore. But they said they had had children along the way, and you know, you got to stop for that and rest up. And but they got to the seashore, it says, and they were rejoicing for that. It says in chapter 5, verse 65, "And it came to pass that we did pitch our tents by the seashore, and notwithstanding we had suffered many afflictions and much difficulty, yea, even so much that we cannot write them all. We were exceedingly rejoiced when we came to the seashore, and we called the place Bountiful because of its much fruit. And it came to pass that after I, Nephi, had been in the land of Bountiful for the space of many days, the voice of the Lord came unto me, saying, Arise and get thee into the mountain. And it came to pass that I arose and went into the mountain and cried unto the Lord." He was kind of had forgot to talk to the Lord there, and the Lord was reminding him, "You're not done. You're not done." And Nephi probably knew there was more to do. I have some of my employees, like I was saying, that it's hard. I have to keep on them and make sure they do it, and I have to follow back and inspect what they do, because I'm used to just people doing their job and it being done right. And then I have a nephew that helps me once in a while. And he helped me years ago. And he's had a lot of experience building. And when they come with his crew, I just say, "This is what we're doing." And all of a sudden they're gone. They're doing their job. I don't have to go back and look at his work. I don't have to go back and say, come on, get to work. We got to get to work. They just go and do it. They just go and do it. No complaining. We're going to get it done. And then he has me helping them sometimes too. And I try to be positive. I said, "Yeah, we can help you. We can get it done. We're going to get it done. That's what we do. We try to get things done." So the Lord was speaking to Nephi here and said the voice of the Lord came unto him. It's probably a voice you could understand, I'm sure. "And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Thou shalt construct a ship after the manner which I will shew unto thee, that I may carry thy people across these waters." Whoa. Sounds like a big job there, huh? Has anybody here ever drove a nail in a board? Everybody probably can raise their hand on that one. You can build a house. If you can nail one nail in the board, you can build a house. Everybody here, I believe you can. Positive. Can you drive two nails in the board? Two nails? Yeah, I think I could drive two nails. My last year when I was out here, I just fell off the roof and broke my arm. I'm getting back to driving little nails. I can't drive the big nails yet, but I can build a house. I can. You You put one nail in, then you put another nail in, you put another nail in. That's all houses are constructed of. Boards and things to fasten them together. You've got a house. You didn't know you could build a house, did you? Got an excuse. There's an excuse why you can't build that house, isn't there? I can't do it. No. I can do it. What Bob the Builder say? Can we do it? Yes, we can. Those that seek to bring forth Zion. Can you do that? Yes. Yes, you can. The Lord knows you can. He knows you can. So he says, I want you to build a ship. Well, how big do you think this ship was? There's over a dozen people that were in the ship. At least. Well, they probably brought some animals with them. Maybe. I don't know if they had any animals in there. They brought all kinds of food and stuff with them. I don't know, it's pretty big. It wasn't our little fishing boats. Pretty big structure. Well, what would you think about that if the Lord said, you're going to build a ship, I'm going to show you how to do it. What would you say? And I said, and I saith, Lord, whither shall I go that I may find ore to molten, that I may make tools to construct the ship after the manner which thou hast shewn unto me? Pretty positive statement there, wasn't it? I'm ready to go, Lord, where I need some tools. Can anybody here go outside somewhere here, find the things they need to make me a shovel? Where would you start? I want a shovel. Anybody can help me with that? Well, go down to the Home Depot and you can find all kinds of them. I watched a deal on the TV one time that Ames Shovel Company, they're just building as many shovels as they can. Because people break them, what do? You throw them away. Just buy another one. A shovel. Nephi would have loved to have this, wouldn't he? I need a shovel to dig in the dirt to find this ore. Well, there's other tools he needed. What was he going to cut the trees down to make this ship? What would you use? Maybe an axe would be nice. An axe? Yeah. Up in Bemidji and up in northern, where there's a lot of logging, they have these logging competitions. And they try to simulate what the loggers did years ago when they didn't have the power saws. They'd cut the tree down with an axe. I mean, huge trees. You'd cut on a tree all day long to fall it. They'd had this one, because all of the U.S. had huge pine trees on it years ago. And the sap was so strong in the base of the tree, they had these two boards, they called them spring boards. They'd chop it into the tree just right and they'd stick it in there. And they were only 8-10 inches wide. They'd jump up on that. They'd chop another one in, jump up on that with their axe. They cut off about 8 feet high to get rid of all that pitch that was in the base of the tree. It was so hard for the sawmills to cut those trees with that much pitch. And they're standing on this board swinging an axe, chopping this huge tree down. Well, Nephi and them, they needed an axe, I'm sure, or a saw. I don't know if they brought one with them from Jerusalem. If I had an axe, I think I would have brought it with me on this camping trip they went on. I thought, yeah, I might need that. Well, no. These competitions that they have, they will take a 12-inch pine log and they'll mount it solid. And they have these big axes and they're just like a razor. They're heavy. They're just like a razor and they time it to see how long it takes them to chop that 12-inch tree off. And they, whoever does it the quickest wins. I mean, when they're chopping that, there's pieces flying everywhere. It's just amazing. But Nephi didn't have that. He didn't have that. He said, "Where's the ore at, Lord? How would you like to have an employee like that?" You ask him, "Well, we're going to build this house today," and your employee says, "Well, where's all the material? Where's the tool? We're ready to get on this and do it." He must have had a knowledge of working with steel and stuff like that, and he knew how to melt this iron down. You got to get a pretty hot fire to melt iron ore. Pretty hot fire. I've played around with, me and my brother-in-law, we played around with a leaf blower trying to get metal hot enough to melt it, and we couldn't do it. It takes good firewood, good dry firewood, and something to heat it up really hot. "To make these tools," he says. And he was ready to go. He trusted the Lord that the Lord says, "I'm going to help you doing this." So he says "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did make a billow wherewith to blow the fire of the skins of beasts. And after that I had made the billow that I might have wherewith to blow the fire, I did smite two stones together that I might make fire." Might make fire. Can somebody make me a fire right outside with hitting two stones together? That's we take that for granted today. We have these little butane lighters. We have matches. We've got fire with us all the time if we want it. And here they didn't have that. They didn't have any Walmart to stop by. I'm just saying that it's quite a thing that they were doing. Quite a thing they were doing. And he goes on. "For the Lord had not hitherto suffered that we should make much fire as we journeyed in the wilderness. For he saith, I will make thy food, or I will make that thy food shall become sweet, that ye cook it not. And I will also be your light in the wilderness. I will prepare the way before you, if it so be that ye shall keep my commandments." He gave them a promise there. He says, "I'm going to show you the way. Show you the way. If you keep my commandments." " Wherefore, inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall be led towards the promised land, and ye shall know that it is by me that ye are led. Yea, and the Lord said also, that after ye have arrived to the promised land, ye shall know that I, the Lord, am your God. He tells them that you're going to know that it was me that got you here. All of the many things that I've done for you, you have no reason to doubt that it's any other way you got there but me. And that I, the Lord, did deliver you from destruction, yea, that I did bring you out of the land of Jerusalem. Wherefore I, Nephi, did strive to keep the commandments of the Lord, and I did exhort my brother to faithfulness and diligence. Faithfulness and diligence. And it came to pass that I did make tools of the ore which I did molten out of the rock. And when my brothers saw that I was about to build a ship, they began to murmur against me, saying, our brother is a fool, for he thinketh that he can build a ship. Yea, and he also thinketh that he can cross these great waters. Does people in the world say that about people that are out doing things? Yeah, it's all over the news. If you want to get into the politics, it's all over. They're saying you can't do this. This person's bad. They think they're not truthful. They're not. They're always trying to attack someone. And his brothers was attacking him. The Lord told him, says, I want you to build this ship. Lehi and Lemuel, they wanted to point the first finger. And thus my brethren did complain against me and was desirous that they might not labor, for they did not believe that I could build a ship. Neither would they believe that I was instructed of the Lord. They wouldn't believe. They wouldn't believe. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, was exceeding sorrowful because of the hardness of their hearts. And now when they saw that I had begun to be sorrowful, they were glad in their hearts, insomuch that they did rejoice over me, saying, we knew that ye could not construct a ship, for we knew that ye were lacking in judgment. Wherefore thou canst not accomplish so great of a work. Yeah, we got a saying, you bit off more than you can chew. I've did that before. I've taken on too many jobs and not being able to finish them all in a certain amount of time. You think you can do these things, and it's easy to take on more than you can do. And they were saying, yep, we told you so. We didn't think you can do that. Other than they could have said, yeah, we're a long ways from Jerusalem. Let's do something. Do something. So the process kind of got stopped here for a little bit. It says in verse 93, and thou art like unto our father. led away by the foolish imaginations of your heart. Yea, ye hath led us out of the land of Jerusalem. We have wandered in the wilderness for these many years. Our women have toiled, big with child, and they have borne children in the wilderness and suffered all manner and suffered all things, save it were death. It would have been better that they had died before they came out of Jerusalem than have suffered these afflictions. Behold, these many years we have suffered in the wilderness, which time we might have enjoyed our possessions and the land of our inheritance. Yea, we might have been happy in our routine, our easy chair. Do you have a nice chair you like sitting in? The longer you sit in it, the harder it is to get up. That's the way it is for me at night. If I come in and eat and sit down, I'm done for the day. I fall asleep and wake up an hour later and think, where did the time go? But they were saying, yeah, we'd have been better off if we'd stayed in Jerusalem. Then you drug us out here in the middle of nowhere. Everybody suffered. We've had to eat raw meat. That would be kind of a interesting thing, eating raw meat. But they were complaining. And we know that the people which were in the land of Jerusalem were a righteous people, for they kept the statutes and the judgments of the Lord and all his commandments according to the law of Moses. Wherefore we know that they were a righteous people. Our Father hath judged them and hath led us away because we would not hearken unto his words. Yea, and our brother is like unto him. And after this manner of language did our brethren murmur and complain against us. So there's quite a bit of complaining going on. We call it whining today, or little kids whine, or big kids whine, or they don't want to do something. I remember when I was in 7th and 8th grade, I didn't want to do nothing those years. Seemed like I could sleep all the time. I was always tired. I didn't want to work at all, but we had to milk cows, get up in the morning, milk cows, milk them at night, but I didn't want to do that. But I got over it. I got over it. I like working now. So the Nephi goes through them and he starts telling them things about all of these things that the Lord has did for them. And you're complaining now? Don't you remember what all has happened through the years, the records we have of how the Lord took care of his people if they would only follow him? We have that same problem. He will take care of us. He gave us that parable about the sparrows, that he sees those when they fall to the ground, and he said we're much better than they. If we only have faith, he said he would take care of us. That's a good guarantee in our life. What else do we have to worry about? If we trust that promise that the Lord gave us, that he would take care of us, what's stopping us? What's stopping us? Well, there's usually, we can find a reason why. we can find a reason why. I'd like to go on a little further over, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon Nephi, and he's trying to get explained to them, why are you being this way? Verse 151. He says, "Behold, my soul is rent with anguish because of you, and my heart is pained. I fear lest ye be cast off forever." He cared about their souls. He was worried about their spiritual welfare, the way they were acting. "Behold, I am full of the Spirit of God, insomuch as if my frame hath no strength." "And now it came to pass, when I had spoken these words, they were angry with me, and were desirous to throw me into the depths of the sea." They wanted to get rid of this problem that was bothering them. "And as they came forth to lay their hands upon me, I spake unto them, saying, In the name of the Almighty God, I command you that ye touch me not, for I am filled with the power of God, even unto the consuming of my flesh." He told them that he was filled with God's Spirit. "And whoso shall lay their hands upon me shall wither as a dried weed, and he shall be as naught before the power of God, for God shall smite him." Sticking your hand and grabbing an electrical cable, that's maybe what it was like. "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, saith unto them that they should murmur no more against thy father, neither should they withhold their labors from me. For God hath commanded me that I should build a ship." He's telling them. He told me that I'm going to build this ship and I'm going to instruct you how to do it. "And I saith unto them, if God had commanded me to do all things, I could do it." God knew that Nephi needed help. A group effort, a team effort is what he wanted. Everybody to pitch in and work. "And if he should command me that I should say unto this water, Be thou earth, it should be earth. And if he should say it would be done. And now, if the Lord hath such great power, and hath wrought so many miracles among the children of men, how is it that he cannot instruct me that I should build a ship?" All of these many miracles they've seen. Well, building a ship should be easy. The Lord was just going to tell them how to do it. They had to do all the work. He's trying to explain this out to his brothers. "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said many things unto my brethren, insomuch that they were confounded and could not contend against me. Neither durst they lay their hands upon me, nor touch me with their fingers, even for the space of many days. Now they durst not do this, lest they should wither before me. So powerful was the Spirit of God, and thus it hath wrought upon me. And it came to pass that the Lord said unto me, Stretch forth thy hand again to thy brother, and they shall not wither before thee, but I will shock them, saith the Lord. And this I will do, that they may know that I am the Lord their God. They'd never experienced that before. He's going to shake them to the ground. Know that the Lord was with them. And it came to pass that I stretched forth my hand unto my brethren, and they did not wither before me, but the Lord did shake them, even according to the words which he had spoken. And now they said, we know of a surety that the Lord is with thee, for we know that it is the power of the Lord that hath shaken us. They fell down before me and were about to worship me, but I would not suffer them, saying, I am thy brethren, or brother, yea, even thy younger brother. Wherefore worship the Lord thy God, and honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. They believed, but did that last very long? No. They believed that God was with Nephi right at that moment, but they just forgot about it while they was on the ship. They tried to get rid of Nephi on the ship, tied him up. 4 days, it says he was tied up, couldn't move. That'd be a struggle there to go through, I think. So Nephi told him, says, honor thy father and thy mother and follow these commandments. It's only going to be to your best benefit. And it came to pass that they did worship the Lord and did go forth with me, and we did work timbers of curious workmanship. And the Lord did shew me from time to time after what manner I should work the timbers of the ship. Now I, Nephi, did not work the timbers after the manner which was learned by men, neither did I build the ship after the manner of men. But I did build it after the manner which the Lord hath shewn unto me. Wherefore, it was not after the manner of men. And I, Nephi, did go unto the mountain oft, and did pray oft unto the Lord. Wherefore, the Lord shewed unto me great things, great things. And it came to pass that after I had finished the ship according to the words of the Lord, my brethren beheld that it was good, and that the workmanship thereof was exceeding fine. Wherefore they did humble themselves again before the Lord. They were on the right track. They were on the right track. Humbling themselves before the Lord. We have to do that too. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Like I said, if you want to be humbled, tell God your plans and he's going to tell you his plans. His plans. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came unto my father, that we should arise and go down into the ship. And it came to pass on the morrow, after we had prepared all things, much fruit and meat from the wilderness, honey in abundance, and provisions according to that which the Lord had commanded us, We did go into the ship with all our loadings and our seeds and whatsoever things we had brought with us, everyone according to his age. Wherefore we did all go down into the ship with our wives and our children. And now my father had begot two sons in the wilderness. The eldest was called Jacob, and the younger Joseph. And it came to pass that after we had gone down in the ship and had taken with us our provisions and things which he had commanded, or which had been commanded us, we did put forth into the sea, and were driven forth by the winds towards the promised land. And after that we had been driven forth before the winds for the space of many days, behold, my brethren and the sons of Ishmael, also their wives, began to make themselves merry, insomuch that they began to dance and sing and speak with much rudeness, yea, even to that which they did forget by what power they had been brought thither. Yea, they were lifted up unto the exceeding rudeness. Nephi seen this, and he was worried. He's worried. Wherefore I, Nephi, did speak to them with much soberness. But behold, they were angry with me, saying, we will not that our younger brother shall be a ruler over us. And it came to pass that Laman and Lemuel did bind me and bind me with cords, and they did threaten me with much harshness. Nevertheless, the Lord did suffer it, that it might shew forth his power unto the fulfilling of his words which he hath spoken concerning the wicked. And it came to pass that after they had bound me, insomuch that I could not move, the compass which had been prepared of the Lord ceased to work. Wherefore they knew not whither to steer the ship, insomuch that there rose a great storm, yea, a great and terrible tempest, and they were driven back upon the waters. So they was, the Lord was showing them, well, you're not going to follow me, might have to scare you up again. Or that's what he did. They were about to be swallowed up. We see all these hurricanes that we have now, and it'd be quite a ride to ride through one of those in a boat out on the sea. Big waves, wind. So they had all these blessings, all these miracles, these mighty things that the Lord had done for them. But they forgot. They forgot so soon. The Lord wants us to keep him in remembrance too. We have our sacrament service that we have every month. Well, he probably knows we'll forget him if we don't keep that in remembrance. Keep remembering the promises that he made. They should be written in your heart, these promises that God will take care of me. He's promised that. That's a money-back guarantee. Well, that's a guarantee that lasts forever. Lasts forever. It's not just today. His promise is going to be good tomorrow, 10 years from now. At the end of their journey through the wilderness, his promise was the same when they left Jerusalem as it was at the end of that 8 years. That I will take care of you. I will guide you. I promise that. I'm going to be your advocate. Nobody's going to harm you. Nobody's going to harm you. I won't let them. I stood up for you on the cross. That's what he promised unto us, that he would be our advocate with the Father if we would only follow him and obey him, keep his commandments. So, the work is there. The work is there. Every month you read the Zion's Advocate, the work is right there, spelled right across the top of the page. The work is there. Work for bringing forth Zion. Well, you say, well, what is that? Well, God told us what to do. Take care of one another, to help one another, to bear one another's burdens. And to do this when you don't feel like it. Many times I've did things to help people and I could have stayed sitting in my easy chair, would have felt pretty good. But I believe God wants us to help one another and to do that which is right and have faith in him. And to be a willing, positive person. I'm ready to go to work for you, Lord. Send me out. It's the songs we sing. Send me forth to do these things. I've taken up much of your time today. I'm hoping that you'll be positive in your life. Can we do it? Yes, we can. With the Lord's help. He has faith in us. He knows what we can do. Thank you.